All right. Thank you, folks. I don't know if they did that on purpose because of my anniversary Sunday or whether the Lord put that together, but that was a blessing to me. Brother Pitt, that was a big blessing. Many of you know that's the theme song for all these years that introduces the landmark hour on the radio. Been doing it a long time. It is special to me. And started a little old 15-minute program on the AM station, a little station when we come here, and then all through the years that's continued as we grew and got into the radio station. God gave it to us and all of that. So it's special to me, and the truth of the song is just it. I mean, that would be one song I could pick to say that'd be my testimony. I'd be drifting with like a ship without a sail, amen? And, amen, brother, that says it all. Open your Bibles tonight, and I'm going to have a hard time not being a little personal tonight, but open your Bible to the Song of Solomon. That's not the place you usually find too much preaching on, but it's in the Word of God, and it's a powerful, powerful little book, Song of Solomon. Most of you know that it's depicts and shatters and represents probably the love story of the Lord Jesus for his bride, for the church. Now, it can also, and the Bible is written this way, where you do no injustice. Sometimes you see a double picture. And there's also a picture there of the Lord with Israel, and his love for Israel, as well as a love for the church. And it is a love story. The corrupt world tries to say, make something dirty out of it. Speak of it as the porn book in the Bible. That's not true. Lost folks with no spirit of God in them to lead, they try to become critics and make judgments that are not even close to being true, of course. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I want you to notice some verses beginning in verse 9. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse 16. Probably if I was going to title a little message for something tonight in the tape room, I'd call it My Chief Friend. My Chief Friend. Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? You see, this bride has charged them, daughters of Jerusalem, to help her find her beloved. She seems to have lost him. He was knocking at the door. She went to the door. He was gone. And now she's asking. She's asking them to help find him. She goes out in the street. She's mistreated by the guards out there. And so she's crying out to the daughters of Jerusalem to help her find her beloved. They ask her the question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? And she begins to describe him, starting in verse 10 on down. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but that's what he is to me. He is altogether lovely. And then I like that last statement there. This is my friend. We know the scripture says and typifies Jesus as being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We know some of that as we think about it. As I think about it today and the testimonies we've heard tonight concerning the wonderful day God gave, and it makes me proud of a lot of folks. I'm proud of the ones that worked hard and brought visitors, and we had a lot of folks bring visitors today. I praise God for that. I praise God. Brother Cruz, you did a good job on the music, the choir and the specials and everything. The Pitt family, if you notice today, every bit of it was telling somebody about the one that's chief of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it was pointed to. And sometimes you can try to orchestrate that and it don't always click. But boy, when the Holy Spirit orchestrates it, it fits, and it fits well, and it speaks to our hearts. Thank God for everybody being in their place and the soul winning that went on. Thank God for that. Oh, we made a few mistakes. I understand that. We were a little bit late. We got the bunch back here and couldn't get them in the water. I was beginning to wonder. I went back there to check on it. Somebody said, we were waiting on the women. Never make a mistake like that. Somebody said, the women ought to go in the pool first. Why? The Bible says the man's the head of the house. Besides that, didn't you ever read Acts 5 where Ananias and Sapphira came to church and she was 3 hours late? So just don't make that mistake no more, amen? Yeah, we made a few mistakes. I caught the boys napping in the tape room trying to get the mic on for invitation and a few things like that, but we know the devil's going to get his licks in every way he can. But I was personally stirred that God won the battle. Amen. And God gave the victory. Well, you know what? The day brought some good memories to me. I had some folks show up that I've invited more than one time that didn't come, but they came today. And I thank God for that. We was out doing some door knocking, Brother Jones and I going down the street over here. And knocking doors, and I actually was not too encouraged when I got through. A lot of them not home, a lot of them various excuses. But you know what? Some of them came. Some of them came today, and I praise the Lord for that. I had one man on the street. When I handed him the flyer and was telling him, he said, you know, said, I rode one of your buses years ago. And he was here today, so I thank God. Thank God for those little victories mean something to you, you know? They really do. As I look at the text here, I understand the context and all that. But notice here, what we're saying here is they're saying, why is your beloved any better than somebody else's beloved? Why is your beloved greater than somebody else's? And then this wife here, bride, begins to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, earthly words cannot describe him. no way that we can compare. And by the way, she says the chiefest among 10,000 is greater than that. No God like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You couldn't compare him to Buddha or Muhammad or Allah, all that business. Oh, no, no, no. No comparison. No comparison. He is the chiefest. No doubt about it. And then when you get right down to the end in that last verse there, and he's your friend. I mean, he's your Savior. But he's your friend. Do you understand that? A friend that'll never let you down. A friend that'll never turn his back on you. My, that's precious to me. Let me say this. My friend makes the past blessed. You know what? Anniversary Sunday, long road of memories for me. I was driving around town a little bit yesterday, and it hit me for just a little bit. I looked and I remembered when there was no Landmark Village over here. And I looked and remembered when there wasn't nothing but old houses where this building is here. When I came, I remember when I was knocking doors the other day going down that street. I've knocked those doors before. I knocked them 41 years ago and many, many others when there was nothing hardly on this corner. A building without a restroom was what was on the corner. Look how God has blessed. I mean, when I think on the past, man, when I think on the past, so many people that God has sent and used and worked. You know, Nehemiah, I relate a little bit to Nehemiah over there building the walls and fighting with one hand and building with the other hand. You know the story. And you know there's a statement over there where they got it done because the people had a mind to work. And God has set some people through these years that had a mind to work. Somebody criticized me a little bit, said, I give more credit to that preacher's wife for what's been done out there than the preacher. And I heard that and I said, well, amen. Amen. So do I. God's used her and used so many along with her. So many faithful church members, others. I was thanking God for the music and the soul winning and the visitors brought today. And the preaching was great this morning. It was a gospel right out there, and God used it. Amen. Somebody said to him in the lobby out there, said, boy, your son can preach. I wonder where he got it from. I said, you ought to hear his mama. I'm joking a little bit, but she's preached me a couple of good sermons, a time or two. The truth of the matter is, God puts a whole working package together, don't he? He brings a preacher and a wife and a church member that wants to work, and the next thing you know, all it goes together, and then God, we know God's behind it. He's the friend that walks with us, and thank God, as I think on the past, he's the one makes it blessed. Amen. Oh, yeah. Past victories. We've had victories here where people thought impossible. And maybe while we were in the struggle, we thought it was impossible. But we had a friend with us. We had a friend with us. Amen. Been in a few government fights, and most of our fights have been outside fights. We've had to teach a lot of government folks about the Constitution and about the First Amendment that gives the church the position it has. In fact, the First Amendment was written because the church already had that position. Government don't give us our rights. God gave us our rights. Amen. We've had a few of those things take place, and the victories were sweet. But you know why the victories were sweet? Because the struggle was hard. And that's what makes a victory sweet. And it makes it sweet when you see God get in it. I can tell you stories that time won't allow. I can tell you about a big fight against our youth camp out there, and it was a mess. And I'm telling you, it didn't look good. But what they didn't know was the governor's granddaughter was out there. We had a friend they didn't know about, amen? And I'm talking about an earthly friend. And boy, did he sent somebody down here, and they straightened things out in a hurry. And it's been good ever since, amen? I think back on the victories, and my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made the past blessed, amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. My friend makes the present understandable. I know it's an evil world. I know the Bible was not taken by surprise. God didn't say, uh-oh, I didn't know they'd do that. He already wrote about it. I mean, you think about it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that perilous times will come. That men will be worse and worse. And hey, they're living up to that today. But I'll tell you something, I still got my friend with me.
Amen.
Amen. It's okay. Help you understand. You say, well, it's hard, preacher, and this happened and that happened. You know what Romans 8:18 says? It says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us.
Amen.
Hey, if you get that in perspective, no matter how bad it is, there's no comparison to what's out there. No comparison to the victory. No comparison to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. My, it makes it okay. Yeah. Are we going to be tested, folks? As a pastor, I look on my congregation, and I, in the midst of all the victory today, I've prayed for some folks that's missing. Some of them are being tested. You know what's bad about a test? Sometimes it's over before you know you were having it. Yeah. You kids in school, you say, well, I know they were given a test, but God gives some that he don't announce. And you don't know it till the score's added up. Amen? Listen, when you're tested, are you going to stay faithful? Stay faithful. My. That's the challenge. The day is going to get worse, no doubt about it. But we got a friend that's going to stick with us all the way through. You know, I think about some of God's best men that was tested and hurt pretty bad. Do you remember the victory that Elijah had on Mount Carmel when he cut the heads of the false prophets off? Remember how he got the victory over Jezebel's prophets, but then Jezebel sent him an email. You remember that? Scared him to death. And here was the mighty man of God running and hiding and winding up under the juniper tree having a pity party. You remember the story? And God had to come. I'm glad God didn't forsake him. And God came and spoke to him in the still small voice and got old Elijah back on track. And you know what? Elijah had some victories after that. But one of the things he did, got him back on track. God sent him to tell him that the job's not done yet. I'm looking over in 2 Kings chapter 2. As I look over there, we find out that God let Elijah come and anoint Elisha to take his office, to take his place. And we find that as Elisha walked with Elijah, he asked him for a double portion of his spirit. You remember the story? You remember when the UFO showed up and took Elijah to heaven? You do remember that? Well, it was unidentified. I'm joking with you some. But it says in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Going down to verse 6, Elijah said unto him, to Elisha, pray, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. Now they had an audience. Down in verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. They knew something was in the air, didn't they? And they come down to the Jordan River, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither. Get it right. And the two of them went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Keep going with me. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Watch it now. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Let me make an interjection. There's going to be a lot of leftover clothes to take to the Salvation Army when the rapture takes place. Now, I'm playing around with you some, but that's what happened to the mantle. It stayed behind, didn't it? He took up the mantle that of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, I want you to notice, the mantle fell, and Elisha picked it up, and he almost, in the English, sounds irreverent towards God. And he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where are you at? Are you going to be with me like you were with Elijah? He said, if I saw him go up, I could get the double portion. Now, where are you, God? And he picks up the mantle and he strikes the river. And his 50 prophets are on the mountain peak watching. College boys, watch the old preachers. See what you can learn. And the river parted. You'll find those preacher boys coming out of the hills and coming and wanting to bow down to Elisha. They knew something. They knew God was on Elisha. He asked for a double portion, and I haven't personally necessarily counted it out, but if you read real close, Elisha did do about two times as many miracles as his mentor, Elijah, did. Isn't that interesting? Sure it is. You know what? There was a mantle change. There was one prophet taking the other's place. I want you to notice the prophets were changed, but the prophet's God was still the same. I like that. Now, most of you know, and there's rumors and there's talk and all that, what's going to help them at Landmark? Pastor Carter's going to retire. And, well, Stephen's been with us a little over 3 years, and it's obvious I'm doing what I promised you I'd do. I promised you bring him in, and I'd fade out and let him fade in. I've been doing my part fading out. You hadn't noticed the fading? I've noticed it pretty bad. I notice it sometime when I look you in the face and wonder what your name is. I'm joking some, but not as much as you think. The truth of the matter is, there's some other fading. Doctor said to me a few times, he said, "Preacher, you got to slow up. You got to change." He said, "Preacher, you're carrying a lot of stress." And I looked, wasn't there. I looked, couldn't find it over here. He said, "You can't find it, but it's there." He said, "You don't know it, but it's there." And he said, "You need to make some changes." Now, I want to say this about a preacher. He may make some changes geographically or physically, but you can't quit caring. You just can't lay that down. And that's where the stress comes. I have people say to me as a preacher, I'd like to do something for you. Well, live for God. That takes the stress off of me. Amen. I mean, I'm told in the Bible to watch for your souls. Amen. And I want to tell you something. The stress comes when that one that's straying, that one that's going over the cliff, that one that's failing, that home that's messing up, those kids that are in trouble. That's where the stress comes from. You don't have to look in here. It's in here. It just comes right in there, and it makes a place, and it stays. And I want to say to you that the same God that blessed Elisha to do twice as much as Elijah can keep right on going with this church. And I believe he will until the trumpet sounds. I really do. I do plan, and I'll maybe talk a little more about this sometime later. I do plan to make an effort to cut some stuff back. I plan to make an effort to cut out a lot of the administrating that I'm doing. I am not going to quit serving God. One of the good things about having your son take your place is you can stay in church. And if it's trouble, it's a family affair. The truth is, it's pretty hard for a preacher to stay in a church. You preachers out there know what I'm talking about. When a new man comes in, because that's just don't most often work. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it don't. So I do have that blessing. And I'm saying to you that I've got a friend, though, that's not going to leave me, going to stay with me. He's made my past blessed. He's made my present understandable. And bless God, he's going to make my future wonderful. Amen. That's my friend I'm talking about. I'm talking about even earthly. You know, the future here, if you read the newspaper, it's not good. If you listen to all the, and by the way, some of you want me to say something about the politicians, all right? I just said it. I agreed with one of them in the debate the other night, talking about going to the moon. He said, "Let's send the politicians to the moon." I agreed with that. Not much else I agree with him on. Well, I agree with him on his on some of his policies, but I'm afraid of his foreign policy. I'm afraid it'd be too weak for the enemy that we have. So you say, "Well, who am I going to vote for?" Well, I hope you go vote. We almost always wind up voting for the lesser of the evils, don't we? Always do. And no man's going to fix things. No man going to do it. No politician going to do it. Only Jesus can do it. We understand that. And you say, who do I vote for? Well, listen to the principles that are preached from the Bible in the pulpit. I mean, you're not for abortion, are you? You're not for the homosexual movement, are you? You're not for all the junk that's going on. All right, then don't vote for somebody that is for it. Now you say, that preacher telling me how to vote. I just told you, vote what's right by the Bible. But I'm not going to turn Landmark into some kind of political station down here. No point in it. That's not our hope. It's not our salvation. We'll declare righteousness and we'll fight against sin all the time, no matter where it appears. If it appears in a church house or in a politician's office, we'll fight against it. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, our future is wonderful. Even earthly, you know what he's promised? He's promised to supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't you like that, Philippians 4:19? Oh, they say, well, you know, the dollar's losing its value. I can attest to that. You can too. Well, gas is going up. I understand. But bless God, God's storehouse is as full as it ever was. We can still call on it. We can still get help from it. Amen. You know, even earthly down here, our future's as wonderful as the promises of God. You know, he'll meet our needs. Yes, he will. You know, church, there's a lot left to do. We got these little kids. I mean, how many kids did we have here today? Who knows? But thank God that there's a place like this. Thank God they can hear it straight when they come here. They can be taught in the Sunday school class. They know the Bible's the Word of God. They know they didn't come from monkeys, Brother Pitt. They know they were created by a loving God. Bless God. I mean, those kids need that stability. They need this place to be a lighthouse for them. That's what we want to keep on being and doing. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants for. I believe he's coming soon. I don't see how the world can get much worse. It will. But it's going to one day hear the trumpet. Those that are saved are going to leave. That's our evacuation route. Amen. Now, church has a lot to do. Our kids' future hangs on it. One day, you know what we did here tonight? We began to total up. We got the reports in and everywhere. And thank God for the good reports. And over 1,500 on buses. And so many saved. And a number baptized. And some more to be baptized. And all of that is all of that is wonderful. A wonderful thing. But one day at the judgment seat, it's really going to be total up. We might have missed a few today. We might have not got everybody counted that got on this property. We might not have counted every soul that prayed for Christ to save them. But that's okay. God did. He's got the record. Amen. And one day at the judgment seat, we'll find out about it. One day the score will be totaled up. In the meanwhile, I don't know. The Lord could come today, but suppose it's 10 years. We still got something to do. Amen. We got something to do. Must do it. Must keep on. And you know what? The promise is that our friend will stick with us. I like that. His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. My friend, personally. My friend. Do you ever have a friend to help you out in a time of need? I think about the little boy. He was a runny little old fella, skinny little old guy. He dreaded getting on that school bus the first day of school, that country route. He knew there was some rough boys on that bus. And he was not wrong. As he got on the door, through the door and started down the aisle, every time he would try to get in a seat, some boy would reach over and rub his head, slap him, push him away, throw his books on the floor, and he'd try to sit down in another place, and somebody else would grab him and rough him up and keep shoving him toward the back of the bus. That kept on happening. And finally he looked, and as he looked, there was one seat in the back, and there was a big old boy that didn't look like he was all there, sitting on that seat. And they were all shoving him to that seat. That was the place he was going to have to sit. And so very timid and shy, he sat down beside that big boy, expecting to get roughed up like he did even worse, because this boy was bigger. But then he looked up, And that big old boy was smiling at him real big. And he said to the little runt, he said, "Would you like to be my friend?" The little boy looked back at that crowd that roughed him up, and he smiled just so he could say, "Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, this is my friend." I got on the bus of life a long time ago, and I've tried to sit down and find peace in a few places and got roughed up. But there was a day, there was a day that I sat down beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he become my friend. And I want to tell you something. I can smile at every enemy the devil's ever thrown at me. I got no fears, brother. I have the peace of God in my heart. I have rest set inside of my friend. He's my Savior. And nothing in this world is going to scare me anymore. He's altogether lovely. And he's my friend.